Welcome to Create Photography, a podcast all about the creative side of photography. This is Daniel Sig. In today's episode, we will have a conversation with Los Angeles-based street photographer Renzi Ruiz. Renzi Ruiz is a Los Angeles-based freelance photographer and Fujifilm X-Series brand ambassador. He loves to capture the moment. He finds beauty in humanity and in capturing the emotion, the mundane, and the art in reality that is everywhere. His street photography work has been featured in the Los Angeles Times, SoCal Moments, the Think Tank Gallery, You Are Here exhibit, at the Hatakayama Gallery Street Photography exhibit, and at his first solo exhibit, Street Zen, at the Perfect Exposure Gallery. Renzi is also a workshop instructor where he teaches street photography in a one-on-one setting. Renzi, well, first of all, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I'm really excited to have you on today. And excited to talk to you about your photography and your journey. And I guess I want to just get started, and maybe you can tell me and the listeners a little bit about your journey in photography.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Daniel. I know we've just met, but the circle of photography folks out there, it's pretty small. I mean, relative,
right?
especially in the street photography community. So, but as far as my journey, wow, it's been what now since 2008, 2009. Around that point is when I started dabbling. Right, I wanted to find something different to do to challenge my creativity. I was working as a manager, art director type position in a design company. And a lot of what I did was basically just Excel sheets, and the creativity just wasn't there anymore. So I just wanted to do something completely different. And I thought, well, I should get back into drawing or, designing on the computer. But that sort of activity would have kept me sitting in my room and, not really doing anything else. And I thought back to a couple of the vacations that I had taken that year and the previous year. And I just remembered how fun it was to explore and to take pictures. And sort of the feedback that I got from a lot of my photos, just regular vacation photos, was, how nice my compositions were and my photos look really nice. And so I thought back to that and I said, what is it about that? And so that sort of started me off. I started looking at sort of the camera that I was using at the time, which was just a small little point and shoot. It was like a Kodak something. Easy Share or something like that. And, sort of what I could do past just vacation photos. And so I started looking into the technical aspects of photography, started looking into what types of photography genres were out there. I mean, I knew about, landscape, portrait and things like that, but, travel type stuff. But it wasn't until sort of an article came, this was like 2009, maybe 2010. There was an article on, it was probably like photographyschool.com or something like that. And it was talking about what street photography was. And I said, well, that sounds great. Just explore around my neighborhood, explore around my city and take pictures at the same time. I was like, that's pretty cool. I can do that. My break time at work, on weekends, stuff like that. And of course, at the same time, you start realizing that the point and shoot, sort of wasn't cutting it anymore. You know, especially you start looking at the type of pictures people are taking, and you're going like, how are they getting that kind of stuff? And they're like, you know, oh, you got to get a fast aperture lens, and you got to spend all this money. And so you kind of go into that rabbit hole of just like gear stuff for a while.
Right.
And then you go out and get some gear, and you kind of learn, you know, and just my learning journey started with how to see in like 50 millimeter and 35 and 85 and 135. I really got attracted to prime lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Just probably based off of what somebody said about prime lenses, just the quality, the fast aperture, the bokeh, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so like the cameras, and, you know, obviously then there, you start looking at other people's work, especially in the street photography world. I mean, back then there wasn't as many bloggers, and, you know, just the amount of street photography content these days is vastly different from when I started. There was like maybe three or four websites up. InPublic was still doing their thing back then. A couple people like Chris Weeks with his, there's a documentary out. Oh my God, it escapes my memory. But there was a documentary out about street photography that he produced back then. So there wasn't that many. So it was mostly just gear reviews and just looking at stuff on Flickr.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, basically that's it. And then I was looking online, and I was looking into the X100, Fujifilm's first little digital rangefinder style camera. And there was a guy in LA called Eric Kim that was doing a workshop. This was like 2010, 2011, something around there. And I was like, you know, I got to meet people that do this kind of photography in LA, because most of the people that I met were, you know, landscape photographers, portrait photographers, dog photographers, you know, just random stuff. And
right.
I was really getting into the street photography stuff. And, you know, I've started looking at the masters and reading books and going to bookstores and trying to find content that showed me more things to be inspired by. And so I met Eric and, you know, I started meeting more folks in LA that were really into street photography. And so that sort of started sort of the community part of it all, and started meeting people in LA. And I mean, just through that, started meeting people all over the earth, basically. And that was really, awesome, I think, for me, because I like meeting people from all over the place.
Right.
All different countries and different nationalities, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was really nice to meet everybody. And just to get sort of the encouragement too back then, to just keep going down this road of photography was really nice. You know, the community helped with that as well. So yeah, it's been a great sort of experience ever since I started and ever since I got into this genre. I mean, who knew? I didn't know when I started what all of this would end up at. So yeah,
it's been a great journey. Now you're a freelance photographer, right? So you're doing obviously commercial and event photography and other photography, correct?
Yeah. Weddings, portraits, headshots. What else? Yeah, like things like that. Just stuff to make money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're a Fuji X ambassador too, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. You know, could have, you know, you don't know what the, back then I didn't know what the criteria was. And so I just felt really blessed to be invited and to have been a part of what's been going on with them for when did I get in? Like 2015, end of 2014 and beginning of 2015. So it's been fun. Met, you know, really good people in, you know, in the community, especially, you know, people really love their Fujifilm cameras.
Right.
I mean, I know I do. You know, I shoot with them every day. I've tested some of the cameras and I've talked to a lot of people who shoot with them. So yeah, it's, mm-hmm. it's a very enthusiastic group of people yeah. who like really love, you know, the brand. They really,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame them at all.
Yeah. Right. No, that's wonderful. Yeah. I've shot some Fuji as well. I actually enjoyed it a lot. I like the analog controls, and because I still like film photography too. So I really enjoyed that yeah. part of it too. And I think the great, you know, great image quality and the lenses are great, and yeah, definitely a great brand.
Yeah. I think it really helped me too in the beginning to learn, you know, I was learning aperture, shutter speed, ISO, all that kind of stuff. It mm-hmm. you know, I started off with a Nikon camera, a D90. Mm-hmm. And then my next camera after that was the original X100. And so that's what I was shooting on the street. And then the X Pro 1 came out and I started with that as well, with different lenses. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, people talk about sort of the film experience, right? It slows them down. Mm-hmm. They, you know, all that stuff right. they say about it. And I found mm-hmm. that with shooting with the sort of the original X100 and the X Pro 1. And I mm-hmm. sort of mentally thought of it as that. So I would set my ISO so that, you know, got my film stock in. And then right. would just balance it out, you know, whatever scene that I mm-hmm. would encounter. So it really instilled those sort of practices and that mentality of you know, what makes a good exposure and all that kind of stuff.
So right.
The technical
right.
aspects of it.
Right. So it sounded like, you know, it kind of started for you with, well, some travel photography, but then really street photography. So that's been with you for a long time.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the things you still enjoy about it and still like,
you know,
doing?
First it's an enjoyable thing to do, to just walk around and mm-hmm. that let's just start with there, just walking around
right
anywhere right. Especially like in a new place, but even like in downtown, right? I go there, I've been going there now for 10 years mm-hmm. specifically to shoot, and it's been changing.
LA, we have to say, right, for people who don't know, but it's downtown LA.
Oh yeah, correct? Downtown LA. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's been changing throughout the years. So you kind of witness, you're a witness to all of that, and you see it in your photos. There's certain places that, certain corners that will never be the same. You know, mm-hmm. the storefront's different, or, you know, a building's been put up. The sun will never hit that part of the sidewalk in the same way again. So there's a lot of things that, you know, you're part of history, so to speak, when you're mm-hmm. taking pictures of that kind of stuff. But I right. enjoy it. I love going out there, walking around. It's sort of my Zen meditation. You know, I walk around, mm-hmm. I practice mindfulness. Mm-hmm. I do my breathing techniques as I begin to get out and walk on the streets. And so for me, it's a very meditative, relaxing, fun, a creative thing to do mm-hmm. when I can get out there, right? So it's still, for me, it benefits me in a lot of different ways. And specifically to just get the creative, you know, get in the zone and, mm-hmm. you know, and just shoot. I mean, really, that's
right.
that's the fun part for me. Like, oh, yeah, I get nice pictures at the end and I post it and I share it. And but the act of is really, that's where it's at. That's mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. that's where the whole process is that for me, you know. I don't want to spend too much time processing and editing the photos.
Right.
It's really in the getting out there and just trying new things or figuring out mm-hmm. ways to see things a different way, right? Like I go to downtown mm-hmm. so often, I gotta figure out how to see it in a different way the same corner sometimes, the same exact corner, like a slightly different way, even just maybe a step to the left or a step to the right can make a huge difference.
Right, right. And that's a nice lead into my next question, which is kind of related to how you're going about the street photography. So, you know, some talk about the hunter versus the fisherman metaphor. You know, the hunter, just for those who are not familiar with the term, is, you know, probably the photographer who walks around and just looks for his next photograph all the time, whereas the fisherman may just, you know, position him or herself at a certain spot, right, in the city and kind of wait for a subject to move, or, you know, for the light or for something to happen in that scene. And so, you know, I know these are metaphors, but, you know, people are using them. And what are your thoughts about those? And are you drawn more to one versus the other? Or are you doing a combination?
Yeah. Definitely a combination. But the, I would say I lean towards more of being a fisherman. I tend to wade around in an area, you know, 5-10 minutes, sometimes half an hour. You know, I've been known to wait, you know, 45 minutes at a spot just to get the right, you know, the right shot. You know, maybe there's some shots in there that were 90% there, but it, you know, forcing myself to stay that extra 5 minutes, you know, yielded me a really, you know, the one that I wanted to get. So that's, you know, just a lesson in patience for myself. And that's sort of what started my journey into street photography, was that it was like first learning how to not get anxious and sort of the fear of taking pictures of people that I didn't know. And then the second was the patience part of it, and just, you know, waiting around. And it was really the video, you know, on YouTube with Joel Meyerowitz, where he's, I think it's in the 70s or something like that, or 80s. Right. He's being interviewed on the street corner. And he's like, yeah, I just stand here and people come to me and things happen around me. And I'm just here, right? And I was like, that's a great idea. Because yeah, you know, when you're doing travel or you're new to something, you want to go around and see everything, and you sort of the thought of like missing out on something because you're not there, so you're just constantly moving around. But I the more I just stuck around in one place and just sort of observed what was going on, how people walked through the light that I was working with, because that's a very big part of my photography is light. And so that's sort of how I've been able to observe it and shoot it, is just studying it. Like the first year, I think, just about the first year, first or second year, I literally just shot in black and white for a whole year to sort of, to learn it, to learn how to see in that way, or to see light, I guess you could say, and how to play with it and how it works, and how it could, how I could communicate through that. Right. Cause it, you know, I think one of your previous podcasts was about black and white photography and how it does create a mood. It creates a, a feeling. It can communicate certain things. And so that's what I was trying to accomplish through just focusing on black and white for that entire year. And I felt like once I started sort of processing in color, my color photos looked really good too, you know. So because I was just really focused on seeing the light.
Are you still, but are you still doing a lot of black and white, or do you, are you tend to do more color now, and with your, especially your street work?
I would say I still predominantly do black and white, but but the colors that I'm seeing now, it's inspiring me to shoot a little bit more in color, or to process in color. I'm still really focused on light and sort of what's going on in the scene, and you know, with the lines or the people and how they interact or the gestures and things like that. But I think it's the, I don't know, there's something about the Fujifilm colors too that's kind mm-hmm. of making mm-hmm. me like, oh man, that's actually really cool. I want right. to keep it in that right. color.
Yeah.
Instead of converting it to black and white. Right. So it's sometimes I'm just like, so for me before I would say, you know, it's all black and white. Mm-hmm. Only if it makes sense do I do it in color, right? If I saw it in color, if that's what makes it work, that's what makes it pop. That's what tells us helps tell the story, so to speak.
Right.
I would, you know, leave it in color. But right now I'm just like, oh, wow. It's some of the colors I'm seeing come out of just the JPEGs from, you know, the X-Pro3 that I'm shooting with or the X100V. But even some of the older cameras, the colors are really, really nice. So
right, right. Yeah, Fuji, you know, they know about decision. Colors. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So, you know, just briefly on black and white, I think one thing that's cool about this too, even though if your final picture is in color, and I've heard other street photographers and other photographers talk about this, is, you know, to kind of, if you have a digital camera, obviously with the film, it wouldn't work, but set your camera on black and white, and it really helps with focusing on composition and light, because you're really focusing and you're not looking at the color that sometimes can be distracting. Mm-hmm. Is that something you would ever do, or is it typically you would just
not
worry about that?
Well, that first year that I was talking about where I specifically mm-hmm. shot in black and white, I was trying to see in black and white, and I was like, how do I even see in black and white? Like, are there glasses that you can buy that right. I can just put over my eyes and I could just, you know, like I was trying to figure it all out in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yes, of course I would change my picture mode on the camera to black and white so I could see it in that way. And that helps. Absolutely. That, mm-hmm. that does help. I think as a training tool to mm-hmm. learn, or even if that's just what you want to do, you want to shoot in black and white all the time. And that's fine.
Right.
But over time I've just left it in the standard setting. And I just know, you know, just because of how I train myself, just that the light value is going to be good. So it's going to look good, whether it's in color and black and white,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. at least for the type of photos that I take.
Right.
I just know it's going to work both ways.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Rinzi, you talked about the art of seeing in one of your blog posts, and you kind of mentioned it earlier today a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I find that quite intriguing.
Sure. Well, you know, earlier on, I was looking for inspiration, right? And so one of the photographers that I came across, because everybody was talking about him at the time, was Elliot Erwitt.
Sure.
And he stated that to me, photography is an art of observation. Let me find it. Where did I go to my post? Oh, there it is. Okay. It's about finding something interesting in an ordinary place. I found mm-hmm. it has little to do with the things you see and everything to do with the way you see them. And that really struck mm-hmm. me because at the time I was trying to find what my sort of my style was, what type of photography I was going to start producing, you know, still soaking in a lot of information, soaking in a lot of work that I was viewing at the time. So even in that way, I was observing a lot of things, right? So there's another painter, artist. I think I have it here somewhere. So his name is John Singer Sargent, and mm-hmm. his take on observation is cultivate an ever continuous power of observation. Wherever you are, be always ready to make slight notes of postures, groups, and incidents. Store up in the mind a continuous stream of observations from which to make selections later. And so that's, in a sense, that's exactly what I was doing at the time. I was just looking at everything that I could and going, right. I like that. Let's put that in my little, you know, Batman utility belt, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, at some point it's going to be useful as I'm, you know, out shooting. And so, yeah, I mean, that's really sort of how I learned, how I figured out sort of the way that I was going to shoot street photography, the style that I wanted it to go with. It felt right too, to me, to go in that direction. So a lot of that stuff earlier on, and it's still something I do till today, you know, observing other people's work sometimes, or observing something that somebody said that can inspire me, and just, you know, put that in, and why does that mean something to me? So a lot of it's just the whys and the hows and the, you know, while you're sitting there
right.
observing people. And that's another thing about being out on the streets, observing people. Over time, I've kind of gained a little bit of an insight or a knowledge or a sense about how people are. Right. Well, you know, people in LA specifically, but also, you know, I've come to find out, you know, like I've shot in New York, I've shot in Tokyo, and you know, brief period of time, even in Switzerland, in Lucerne, and it's, everybody's kind of the same, right? So there's really not much of a difference anymore, because, you know, they put Starbucks everywhere. It's, everything's the same, so there's really not a difference. But just even the way people interact with each other and treat each other, the way people walk around, it's a lot of it's very similar. But, you know, you learn certain habits that people have, to watch for certain things. If you're sort of, I'm a bit of an empath as well, so I can kind of sense and feel what's going on around me. And sense, you know, the back of my hair, I don't have hair on my head, but you could still feel the tingle on the back.
There's when something that happens, going on.
Exactly. You know, just step away and you know, maybe walk around the block and then come back. But also a sense of what might happen between something that's, you know, or something's happening across the street, and you could really feel it, and your attention is directed towards that. And then, you know, that helps me be able to take pictures of things, because I'm sort of got this sense to go to that direction, and take those pictures. So, I mean, you know, observation could be a lot of different things. It could be that observing human nature, observing light, how that goes, how to work with it, how it changes from this time of the year, which is just beautiful to shoot this time of the year. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that, because the sun is always kind of low in the sky, right? It's never really high up in the sky, so we always have kind of good light.
We do. We just got to get up a little earlier.
Yeah.
And it ends a little earlier.
Yeah, it does.
In LA, it's like by 3 o'clock, 3:30, it's basically done. I mean, you know, for a specific type of lighting situation, I mean, you can definitely shoot night photography and use a flash or whatever, but you know, for the type of photography I like to do, you know, I like to work with the sun and whatever's available. So,
So with that, and that's a great description of the art of seeing and kind of the art of observation. Obviously, also you mentioned, you know, it's always good to study other photographers. Doesn't always have to be the masters, you know, it can be just others. Is there, you know, maybe for those of us who might be newer to street photography, you know, is there a certain technique or a process how we can, you know, practice that art of seeing? And, you know, because I really do agree with you. I think that's so important, and that we're, you know, learning to really see what our camera sees and also how our camera sees. But is there, you know, other than, of course, you know, you've had a lot of practice, you've been doing that for a long time, you know, what other than just going out and doing it, is there anything else you would, you might perhaps recommend?
Well, that's definitely the best way to do it, is to go out and do it and practice, you know, as much as possible. I mean, for me, you know, I what helped me focus, I mean, it was a bad and a good thing, right? So I was laid off of work. So I had a year of being just a time opened up for me.
Right.
And so I just said, okay, well, for now, while I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen next, let's do this. And so I was able to have that time to focus. But if you don't have that kind of time, you know, whenever you have time, in during lunchtime, during the weekend, if you got an hour here, 2 hours here, that's what I did when I was working. It was just whatever sort of break time that I had, I would just go out. Even in our little break area, we work was at a campus, so we had sort of just places where you can walk around and you know, it was kind of industrial. But the sun, you know, I'm living in California, so the sun's always out, and we always got, so it's always hitting something, right? So there's that. And then at night, you know, what I sort of advise folks, because I teach workshops here too in downtown, this is what I'll advise them, that you get home, take a lamp, right, and just move it around objects and see how that is, and set your camera up and figure out how that works and how you want to, if this, and then think of it as being the sun. And so that's a good way to practice if you're not outside, or if it's a rainy day, or what have you. But if you got the sun out, for me, what I try to do is just make sure I know where the sun is, right? When I step out of my car, I go to the corner and I say, okay, well, where's the sun? And how's it touching objects and people as they walk by? How bright is it? How is it soft? Is there a little bit of mist in the air? And so how does that change my settings? In LA, I've come to find out, and this is a lot in, you know, a lot of different places I've been to where the sun is plenty, is, you know, a base starting point settings on my camera of ISO 200 or whatever the lowest is in your camera for bright sunlight. On the Fujis, it was 200 for a while. Now it's 160.
160, yeah.
So, you know, I'm either at 160 or 200, but then the other two, 500th of a second, so I could stop motion, and F8, so I have a pretty good depth of field. And that's about it. And then from there, I if I'm focused on a specific value of light, I don't really have to change my settings that much, right?
Right, right.
It's basically a point and shoot at that point. And then, then I could just observe more than fidgeting and playing around with my settings.
Right.
And watch people walk by, be ready with my camera. You know, something happens, I'm ready. I'm not looking too much in what's going on in the shade or, you know, what have you. I think that's the challenge a lot of people have when they're starting out, is they see so much, and that's such an amazing thing. And it's such a beautiful thing, right? You just enamored with everything. You want to take a picture of everything.
Right, of everything.
The shade and the sun and the, you know, it's just everything's beautiful and you want to take a picture of it. Do that. It's absolutely the most funnest thing in the world. But then, you know, you want to make things look good, and the way to make things look good is to figure out how to work the light. So there's that, and so you start observing light, and then and then it gets easier. Well, it should doesn't get easier, but it gets a little easier, because then you have direction. You go, okay, well, this is where the light is pointing, this is where I want to stand, this is how I want to, you know, you want more shadow, less shadow, you want the fit, you know, depending, right, what you're trying to do. And then you start seeing, like, there's different types of photos that I take, at least I think. You know, there's some that are more the graphical type where I'm, you know, mm-hmm. it's more about the scene, the environment, buildings and lines and light mm-hmm. and shadow. And, you know, the human aspect of it is just, you know, just the size relation and where they're put mm-hmm. into the composition. It's more of like a compositional study,
right.
More than anything, and a visual treat basically. Mm-hmm. And then there's portraits, and then there's, you know, other things that, mm-hmm. You know, playing around with light, you can get very, very, different looks,
you right. know,
silhouettes and you can get very nice portraits of faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on how you want people to view them, right? If you want something
right.
soft, you bring them to the shade. And if
right.
you want like a man to look very rugged and chiseled, you know, you bring them out mm-hmm. to the more direct sun and get some nice shadows. Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
it's a lot of it's about mm-hmm. shadows as well. Just observing shadows
yep.
and how they yep. help either improve or, not add to your photo. So you're just sort of playing mm-hmm. around with that as well.
Right.
And for me, the thing was, you know, I was really into the bokeh stuff to begin mm-hmm. with, because I bought myself a Nikon 85 1.4 mm-hmm. and the 50 1.4 and the 135 f2. And then when I went into the Fujifilm world, you know, it was the 35 1.4, 23 1.4. I got all the fast lenses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can't be shooting wide open all the time. I mean, you could technically shoot wide open all the time, but you know, I don't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ways to take pictures than
right.
just
right.
wide open all the time. And so, I mean, really what you're trying to do, right, is you're trying to pinpoint what your subject is, and then
right.
everything sort of goes into blurriness, right?
Yes.
And so I was looking at different works and sort of the work that I was doing, and I was going, that's kind of what's happened when I use light and shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm making sure the light focuses on what I want people to see.
Right.
And then all the clutter and other stuff that I sort of don't want featured in the photo is hidden in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of became my thing for a while. I was mm-hmm. just doing a lot of that sort of technique, right?
Right. So you isolate it by luminescence, so to say, or
yeah.
different brightness values, and kind of that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that
yeah.
concept.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's very cool. Is that, you know, and that brings me kind of to a related question too. You know, art of seeing, visualization is another term.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Our famous Ansel Adams has coined, actually, but you know, he was big into that. Now landscape, you know, it's much slower. You can, you know, sometimes yes, the light is fleeting, but you know, it's definitely slower than street, typically, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what are your thoughts on visualization? You know, in street photography, and specifically.
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of work you're trying to produce, and the way that you're going about it, right? The type of techniques or the type of person you are. So for me, like when I go out, I don't have really anything in mind, right?
Okay.
Like I don't have a project, or I don't have like, oh, this is what I want to do. I just go out and I'm like, okay, where's the light hitting? What's inspiring me? What's mm-hmm. intuitively drawing me into that place to take a picture of it. But there's not to say there's been a huge, you know, whole library of things in my mind, right, that I've collected over the years, all these mm-hmm. different pictures. And so number one, yes, build up a visual library in your mind of what makes a good photo, right? Just some of the best photos. That's why sometimes it's hard, you know, on Instagram or Flickr, you know, you're going through so many photos. Mm-hmm. And some of them are good. Some of them are really great. Some of them they're not so great. So mm-hmm. You're getting both. But you know, set up some time to just focus on curating the type of work that that you sort of remember and base mm-hmm. what is good and what is bad. That helps you visualize, mm-hmm. especially when you're out and you're kind of like looking at a scene, you're going, I don't know what to do with this scene. You can go into your library of mental, of mm-hmm. photos that you've seen before and go, okay, well, this is something that I can work with.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's also a pre-visualization, right? So that's stuff right. when you're walking down the street and it's, you know, as photographers, you know, we're problem solvers, right? We're continuously looking at a scene and going, how are we going to make this work, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the light, with the person, the settings, all that kind of stuff. We're putting things together in a split second, right? Mm-hmm. To capture whatever it is that we're trying to capture. And so pre-visualization is a great thing to sort of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a scene, observing how somebody's walking towards that scene and going, okay, this is how I kind of want it to go. Will it go exactly the way you want it? It could. It might. Mm-hmm. It may not. It might get some better. It might get some right. not so good. But at least you have sort of a goal in your mind of how you want the picture to go. It also tells you where to be. Right. If I'm standing in a corner and I see a guy that I'm like, oh man, that'd be a good photo. If he comes by, walks by this area, there's, you know, this thing here and this thing there, and it would make a perfect photo if he falls right into that spot. So then I put myself in that space where I need to be able to frame the shot the way that I want to. So there's that kind of pre-visualization that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right before you take the shot. And I think all, you know, almost every photographer has that in mind. They you know, especially if you're more a planner type of photographer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, in documentary photography, it's different. You're kind of just you're doing it split second. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like, oh right. yeah, I need this right. scene, and you're solving all those problems really fast in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, people who set up whole photo sets, right? And pre-visualize it that way. So, right. But for street photography specifically, you're more like a documentary event mm-hmm. photographer, that kind of thing, where you're just having to make really quick decisions.
With what you have.
When, you know, especially if you're in a crowded sort of place,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Helps to just sort of see it in your head real quick before you take the picture. But you won't know right. How to do that until you look at a lot of different photos and you try different things mm-hmm. and you experiment and
right,
you know, take a lot more photos. Then you start to get an idea of like what you want to do, how you want to take pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not opposed to copying somebody's style of work, right? I mean, that's how I learned how to do
mm-hmm.
what I was inspired by, you know, black and white photography masters of back in the day. So
mm-hmm.
Every time I saw some, I go, how could I make it look like that? Where it's like mm-hmm. timeless and like, you know, right. like classic looking and things like that.
Right.
And so that's what I based a lot of what I saw on. I was inspired by that. So take what you're inspired by, go out and see if you can try to recreate it. And so that's a good way of sort of mm-hmm. pre-visualizing what right. you want and right. visualizing what you want to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Let's talk about street photography as a genre. And, you know, some people call street photography or define it as, you know, the candid, mostly unedited, street photography, basically capturing the famous decisive moment by Henri Cartier-Bresson. Yeah. Others include more artistic captures. I'm probably in that camp too.
Mm.
And, you know, with maybe more of a strong artistic element and maybe, you know, not always a decisive moment. So I would maybe call it an aesthetic moment. And, you know, others include some architectural photography. I think you do some of that. I love to do some of that as well. And so, and not to say that categories are that important, but since you're also teaching street photography workshops, you know, I'd love to hear your take on that. Should we even worry about this categorization at all?
Nah. For me, it's okay. Like I do it because I love to do it, right? It's an activity that I, mm-hmm. I really enjoy doing. And when we get to the arguing about what is and what isn't, that's for other people to talk about, you know, mm-hmm. I think. For me, it's sort of an umbrella, right? Like a street photography at the top of the point of the umbrella. And then mm-hmm. it goes down to maybe on the left side, more, you know, hey, anything goes, right? Mm-hmm. Any kind of, you know, street, you call it street photography, right? If you look at the hashtag street photography, you see everything. And then get, you know, to the other side, you get the more like, hey, it has to be this. Like we have to put it in a mm-hmm. box. Because this is how we learn, right? If we put it in these strict terms and, you know, make it, this is why it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it's really difficult to make a really good street photo, right? If, if we're talking about, you know, candid, if we're talking about, you know, it has to be with a Leica and a wide angle and film. And I mean, you know, not exactly that, but you know what I'm talking about? Like just there's these criteria that the hardliners are like, yeah, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. Right. And if we can stick to that, then you'll learn what it is, mm-hmm. which is a good way to start off. Right. But then mm-hmm. not everybody learns straight from that point. Some of them learn from the complete other side. They're like, yeah, man, I'm doing like urban landscape. And a person got into it and I was like, yeah, that's street photography, bro. You know? So, people come from it from different ways, different mentalities to it. I mean, street portraiture, is that street photography? I don't know. I mean, it's not candid. You're talking to the person, but then it falls under this whole kind of world. Right, of what people are calling street photography. So I'm not the you know, the person that decides all of that kind of stuff. I just love doing it. So that's where I'm at with like trying to put it in a box and that kind of stuff. No, so
I like that. And I want to go back to something you said earlier, because you just mentioned the portraiture. And that's actually the fear. you know, sometimes when we're going out on the streets, you know, we're kind of worried about taking pictures of people in particular, particularly when you're getting closer. Mm. And, you know, particularly, I guess, when you're, you know, taking street portraits. Do you have some advice for us on that? You know, how to go about that?
Sure. I mean, so when I first started, there was a lot of anxiety. And so I learned to watch my thoughts. And really, that's where a lot of things start, is just watching your thoughts, be mindful of what you're thinking and how you're feeling. Because that can affect how, you know, your day goes. That can affect your interactions with people when you're walking around. If you're super anxious and scared and nervous, people are they're going to feel that from you. Right. Whether they understand why or not, people will kind of feel that, like, you know, it's just something in our DNA that allows us to be able to do that. Now, so, you know, so what I learned is breathe, take a lot of deep breaths so that I'm not nervous or anxious, because that's the first thing that happens is your shortness of breath.
Right.
So breathe. So oxygen can get in your brain. Mm-hmm. And number two, just completely changed my focus to what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So if I'm like, okay, well today, because that's what I would do, you know, even sometimes today, I'll just like, you know, I'm going to try to work on this aspect. of my photography. The light come in from behind, like directly behind me. Mm-hmm. Or it's got to be coming from the left. Or I'm going to shoot wide open all day today. Mm-hmm. And see how that goes. You know, just little things that you can do right. to sort of distract from whatever is going to stop you from taking that picture. Because really, that's what mm-hmm. it does. You know,
right. Right.
at the end of the day, you either took the picture or you didn't take the picture.
Yeah.
And exactly. what really stops you is, hey, I got scared, bro. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't want to take that picture because I thought that guy was going to get mad at me. Mm-hmm. Or I thought that guy was going to yell at me or whatever. Right. But.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some people out there who claim they can read minds. maybe they're good at catching behavior and things like that, but I can't read mm-hmm. people's minds. I can maybe
right.
assume something based off of how they how their facial expression or mm-hmm. or what have mm-hmm. you, but I can't read their minds. I don't know mm-hmm. what you know what's going on in there. So that's number right. one was, okay, I need to stop putting out what I think people are thinking, because it's probably mm-hmm. not the right thing. I'm probably right. wrong. And 10 out of 10, probably I'm wrong, right? Mm-hmm. You could be the nicest person, but you kind of have a scowl on your face. Mm-hmm. But you're really right. a nice person. mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ran into people in downtown, tattooed with like the teardrop and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm walking up with a camera. And if you know, I just judge them based on how they looked, mm-hmm. I would have walked away a different way, mm-hmm. maybe. But they, you know, mm-hmm. the interaction was I was walking by and they go, hey, dude, take a picture of me. And, you know, all of a sudden it's this nice, positive, yeah. like interaction right. with them where I'm getting a picture, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having a good time too. So,
right.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. So for number one is your energy, what you're putting mm-hmm. out is what you get. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking around, mm-hmm. having fun, having a good time, enjoying yourself, you're really getting into the zone. For me, nothing but good things ever happen when I'm in that mm-hmm. sort of mindset and energy. Mm-hmm. Number two, definitely breathe and be mindful of what you're thinking about and focus mm-hmm. on other things. Mm-hmm. like if you need to have a project, I'm only shooting red today. Then, if that helps you, then mm-hmm. do that for a while. Mm-hmm. With respect to, so once you get sort of those things out of the way and you're relaxed, sometimes, like for me, like I said, like a lot of the street portraits that I end up getting are just spontaneous things that happen on the mm-hmm. streets. People are coming up to me, or I end up talking mm-hmm. to somebody. It's not sort of where in the beginning where I would like physically walk up to people and be like, hey, can I take your picture?
Can I take
expecting your, yeah. a no mm-hmm. already. You know, I'm already expecting mm-hmm. them to say no. Mm-hmm. so expect a yes sometimes as well, mm-hmm. you know. And that mm-hmm. it's not everybody wants their picture taken. And that's
right.
another thing
right.
that you gotta kind of think oh, yeah, about of is mm-hmm. you know, somebody might be having a bad day. They don't mm-hmm. you're the last person they want talking to you
right.
to them. They might be having a bad hair day, makeup bad, mm-hmm. You know, their legal yeah. status might be a thing here in America yeah. that, you know, they yeah. don't want to be photographed.
Yeah. They don't want the photograph because of that.
So,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just take a no as a no and move on to the next person. Mm-hmm. so there's that as well. If that's yeah. the thing you're going to do, if you're going to go up and, you know, I'm going to go up to 10 people today and ask for right. a photograph. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the way that you do it as well. It's
right.
sort of, you know, come to it with sort of an air of genuine curiosity mm-hmm. about the person and mm-hmm. not just the mark of like, oh, I just want to take a picture of
yeah,
this person
right.
because this and, you know,
right.
there's a notch, right? And then
yeah.
I move on to the next
check
person.
The box.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, be genuinely mm-hmm. interested, and that mm-hmm. that can help you, like, especially in the beginning. There's, you know, I've seen mm-hmm. videos of people just, hey, you know, let me take your picture. And there's a lot of people, mm-hmm. if they're in a city, then mm-hmm. yeah, there might be a lot of people that are open to that kind of stuff, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Good for you. But some people don't live in, you know, places where there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So you're stuck with the 15 people in your city that go out in public.
Yeah. And exactly.
You got to ask them to have a portrait, I'm studying photography and this is a project that I'm doing. I'm really interested in what you're wearing and that's a cool whatever. Right. And then go into, hey, can I, you know, there's all these things where, you know, icebreakers that you can do to help. And with even with all that, they could still say, nah. I don't want my picture taken.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
right.
So there's that. I think there's a lot of it's just the why and the how are you going to do it, and you know, just your overall energy when you're doing it, because it that can make or break the photo as well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Totally yeah. agree. Technical question.
Sure.
So. You talked a little bit about focal length just, you know, with regards to your gear, but, you know, I'm also curious with regards to, you know, how you're doing your street photography. Do you have a preferred focal length, or do you, you know, have cameras where you can maybe change your lens or your prime lens and, you know, kind of be more flexible?
Well, when I'm out, I try not to bring a lot of gear.
Okay.
So I'm usually just one camera, one lens for the day. Once in a while, if I'm like, oh, you know, I want to take this lens out because I don't use it as much. I just want to see what I could do. But then I don't want to be stuck with that focal length all day.
Okay.
You know, for example, like, you know, I was used to shooting the 18 F2, the original. Well, there's only one 18 F2
right now. Right.
But then I acquired the 16 F2.8. Right, it's just a little bit wider, and so I was like, "Oh man, I'm not used to that." And so I would bring that, but I'd also bring like the 35 f/2 or something, maybe the 50 f/2. So I have like a super wide and then a sort of short telephoto. And
the 35, just to be clear, so the 35 is in that's in cropped sensor, so it would be about a 50.
Yeah, 53 millimeter
in the. Full frame. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Okay. That's right. And the 16 is a 24.
24.
And then the 50 is a 75.
75. Yeah. Got it.
So,
so you kind of have that whole range.
Yeah. Covered. So I kind of have like a range, but typically, like, you know, especially if I'm just bringing the X100 out, I have just that one lens on there.
Right.
So that's the 23 F2, which is a 35 millimeter.
35. Yep.
And that field of view is perfect for me. Just good for street, good for, you know, traveling, good for a lot of different things.
Right.
So the X100 is great for that. If I'm bringing sort of the X-Pro2 bodies or the X-Pro bodies, X-Pro2, X-Pro3, or the XTs, you know, the 35 1.4, the 35 F2, the 35 1.4 was my favorite. It's kind of still is my favorite lens. Since I got it, it was my first lens with the X-Pro 1. So it's probably, that has a lot to do with why I like it so much. Cause I've just used it so long. I'm really used to it.
Right.
As a character, it's nice. But at the same time, I like to change it up here and there. There is something to say about consistency of like using one focal length for all of your work, but at the same time, I like to play around. I like to experiment and try something new and switch it up, right? Especially I'm shooting in the same city, in the same area of the city. A lot of time, it's the, you know, the jewelry district of downtown LA. From there, I go into like the financial district and sort of, you know, I can go to Little Tokyo or Chinatown, all from that starting point. But, you know, one day I could be shooting it with a 16 millimeter and then the next day I'll be like, you know, I'm gonna do the 50 millimeter f2 today and just see what that produces, right? Because I really like I do like the more telephoto look to things,
right?
You know, I shot earlier with the 85 millimeter, so the 56 1.2 lens from Fujifilm. So I like that look overall. but it's sort of a big lens with any brand to sort of carry around all the time.
Yeah.
So the 35 was a good, you know, the 50 millimeter is a good range, the 35 millimeter is a good range. And so that's something that I could, you know, if you said, hey, you can only bring one camera and one lens to a trip to wherever, I would probably either bring the 35 or the 23. So, I mean, those are good lenses to play with.
Cool. Thanks for explaining that. That's great. I think it's consistent with what I've heard many other street photographers talk about. Kind of that 35 to 50 seems to be a good, good sweet spot. But at the same time, you know, kind of like what you mentioned earlier too, even though people say it, don't, you know, listen to it, but then see what works for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because like for me, it's definitely the longer, for most part, so the longer focal length. I like it.
Yeah, some of my favorite shots that I've taken were with the 90 f2, which is a 135 equivalent in full frames. And the Fuji version isn't as big. I used to bring out a D700 with the 135 on there. I mean, that was a beast of a lens and a camera just to be walking around with.
Right.
But, you know, but that also speaks to sort of the mentality people have about what they're taking out, right? This sort of the inconspicuousness of a camera kind of mentality that people have. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've shot with a lot of different cameras on the street and it literally doesn't matter for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part, it doesn't matter. People are going to notice you or they don't notice you, right? Yeah. Everything's just happening. It's the narrative that you tell yourself that's going on in your mind is all that matters at that point. I mean, people react, but, you know, I kind of get what people are saying, but at the same time, I don't know. Maybe it's just my energy and the way that I go about it. I just never had a problem with whatever camera or lens or whatever that I bring. Right. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And I actually noticed that too. Yes. If you have a smaller camera, yes, perhaps it's easier to carry around, but it doesn't mean like if you're taking pictures, somebody who's observant still sees you taking pictures and somebody who doesn't care is still not going to care one way or the other. So
exactly.
It's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. So I want to talk about cliches a little bit. And I know, you know, kind of every genre of photography is plagued by cliches sometimes, you know, meaning, you know, how I define it is maybe, you know, kind of overusing certain things. And of course, you know, we see it on Instagram and, you know, in particular in social media. So, you know, and I wonder, well, first of all, is it always a bad thing to use those so-called cliches? And what are your overall thoughts on that? And you probably know what some of the cliches I mean that we see in street photography. There's probably
some of those. I mean, I'm guilty.
Yeah, and I'm guilty too. By the way, yeah, just to be clear, I'm guilty too. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But I think it's, you know, there's always a starting point, right, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're seeing, where there's so many people. And over, the last 10, 15 years, just the amount of people that got into street photography is amazing. It's really amazing just how many people were inspired enough or inspired by somebody that said, okay, well, I'm going to get into street photography now. And then they look at what's on the internet. And if all they're seeing is the cliche shots and putting a cliche title like alone or, you know, whatever under the bridge or whatever it is, you know, that's what they got, you know, and they're learning. And I think for me, that's the important part. I mean, because everything's been done already. Right. Like literally everything's been done. I don't care what photo somebody put out. It might be original, but it's just like something else, or it's using a technique that somebody's used or whatever. So most of everything, I won't say I'll say 99%, because there's probably somebody out there who's like, no, I invented this way of photography and, technique, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, right? I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Almost everything's been done. And if people are using that as a starting point to learn and to get into this community, to you know, fulfill something, right? Either it's a hobby of theirs and it makes them happy, and or to go out and shoot is making them happy, to post their photos for the first time on a Facebook group, and you know, if that's making them happy, then so be it. I'm not gonna rain on their parade and say, oh, you're shooting cliche photos,
right?
It's everything's been taken.
Right.
So, I mean, who am I to judge that, you know, especially I'm 100% guilty of it as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, me too. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a great answer. I was curious about it because I had a recent conversation with another street photographer about it. And, but yeah, I like your answer a lot actually.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
You can personally go, you know what? I'm never going to shoot cliche photos again. And that's good for you, bro. Like that's good for your growth.
Yeah.
That's good for your way of doing things. You're getting better at what you're doing. So that means you're not seeing things in the same way a lot of people are. And that's great. That's good for you. Keep going. But for, you know, 90% of everybody out there who's just getting started, who is just seeing these things for the first time.
Just do it.
We're not in the Matrix. We can't
download
everything that everybody knows. And then not make the same mistakes or not do the same thing that somebody else did. I mean, that's just how that's human nature. So I'm not going to talk poorly about, you know, the way that is.
No, I like that. That's it's very good. Yeah, no, I like that too. So another question, are you working on any personal projects at the moment?
Not really. I mean,
okay.
You know, I don't really have projects. There's things that are slowly kind of becoming projects, just things that I've noticed, because you know this year has been different to say the least.
We can say
and
that.
So you know, we got time to look at old photos, to look at, you know, haven't been like dedicated time to just sort through all my photos, but I've been having to go back through different years to look for a photo here because somebody's requesting it for something, or you know, somebody saw something in my Instagram or my website and was like, hey, can I get a print of that? And I was like, oh, I need to look for it. And so it's caused me to go back through and see work that I haven't seen in a while, and sort of pick out certain things to go, oh wait, there's slowly becoming a trend or a project with these type of photos that I took. And so there's that. There's that kind of way of, I think, I'm doing projects. And so some of it falls into different categories. And so I'll put those in collections in my Lightroom catalogs.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Or on my website or whatever, folder structure. And I'll go back to it here and there and go, okay, how's that going? How does it look? But nothing really where I'm consciously going out and taking pictures for a specific thing. Not so much that right now. Because I'm trying to do it. A lot of times, you know, I'm just shooting through intuition, right? I'm going out and I'm not really thinking about it much. And just what happens, happens. So it's just over time that I can look back and go, oh, wait a minute. I kind of got these bunch of photos that now look good together.
Right.
It makes sense together. And it tells about, you know, whatever the subject is. Like, for example, just, you know, I'm not a very religious person anymore, but it was a part of my life at one point. And it's everywhere still, right? There's churches and people wear stuff.
And
so I noticed these things. And over time, I've sort of looked at all these photos that I took that have, you know, something to do with that subject. You know, maybe somebody's wearing a t-shirt. There's a sign or a painting or a mural. and it relates to something that somebody's wearing. So there's things like that where you've put mm-hmm. together in the right way. And I don't know when I'll right. ever do that, but you know, mm-hmm. That could be a good little project right. to put together.
Oh yeah, totally. You know?
But it's more on the yeah. editing side of, the, mm-hmm. The culling side of,
right. Right.
of the process, not the taking part.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's a great example of, you know, where some people say, well, you got to have a project, don't go on the street without a plan, all that stuff. And, you know, again, it's like, well, says who? And, right. you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And you're a prime example. And I think there are many other examples too, where, you know, but it can be great, you know, and sometimes people may need it for inspiration or other right. things. I actually did one episode on projects. I think they can be great, of course, but again, it's not, as always, you don't have to have one no. really to do your work. And I like that. Actually, for a street, for me personally, the intuitive approach seems to be working pretty well. So I usually don't go with a plan either.
yeah.
So...
I mean,
you know, except the area, maybe, you know, the area a little bit. And, you know, obviously time of day, I look for yeah. that, of course. But
well, I mean, I can maybe do just say, oh, I'm doing a project. Let's say I'm shooting a lot on 7th and Broadway in downtown mm-hmm. Los Angeles. And I could just say, well, that's my project, right?
Right, right.
I mean, because I'm shooting true. On that corner a lot. Mm-hmm. But I've never thought of it as a project. Mm-hmm. But in a way, I could say, yeah, it's kind of a project because over time it's changing. The you know, yep. there's different it's people like there all the time, and
yep. mm-hmm.
that's and so true. That's something too. Where mm-hmm. so one of the things that I thought about just based off of this topic of going to one place to shoot mm-hmm. over time. You know, there's the light works in one way in that corner, right? The sun mm-hmm. rises, it hits that corner, and it may be gone for a while because it's hidden behind a building, and it'll come back, et cetera, et cetera. Just, you know, just the way that I observe the light in that mm-hmm. area. So I might go take a picture one day and nothing, right? I didn't get any good photos, or at least I feel like I didn't get any good photos. Mm-hmm. But because I live in LA, I can always go back to that same corner and practice until I get the right shot, until right. I get the shot right. that I want. And that's something that I want mm-hmm. folks who are starting off in street photography to, mm-hmm. you know, keep in mind as well. Like, you don't have to get the shot that day
right.
that you go there. You can go over mm-hmm. time. And the more you go over time, that you observe certain things, you observe... Mm-hmm. what the background looks like, how you want the background, and you just, you know, you're working on that shot. Mm-hmm. And eventually yep. Yep. the shot's going to come.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because there's a lot of, that's just,
I totally agree with you, actually. And it's a little bit true I've done a lot of landscape. Actually, even in landscape, I think it's totally cool to go back to the same place. And the place may be different anyway because of mm-hmm. the season, but... Regardless, I think it's a great way because we evolve and the landscape evolves and right. you know the seasons evolve. So I think it's a great thing to do, yeah. and it gives you maybe a little focus versus saying, you know, I go, so it doesn't matter where I go, and you know, I go anywhere, and that may be a little bit of a plan, right? Then, but
yeah. Well, what's funny is a lot of landscape photographers have taken my workshop. And sort of they're going from landscape and they're sort of getting into street photography and they, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of things because mm-hmm. they're used to being alone out in nature right. and,
yeah,
and it's totally. It's a jump into, you yep. know, standing around in the city and there's all these mm-hmm. people looking at you. At least they feel like yep. that.
Yeah. yeah.
Cause no one really cares, but that's the, yeah. the thing, right? Like, and I tell them, look, you know photography already.
Right. Right.
Like, what do you do when you go to nature, right? You scope it out. You figure out mm-hmm. what time of the day you want to go, right? You yep. figure out the scene that you want to take a picture of, right? And then you wait for the right moment. And mm-hmm. you click the button. Yep. I mean, there's not a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot in that aspect of it. right. when you go into the city. Right. Just go yep. find a nice setting. Mm-hmm. Post up, right? Figure out where the light is. Figure out how you want to mm-hmm. compose your shot. Click the button when you're ready. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of that other stuff that happens, right? Oh, the people and mm-hmm. What do I do?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. That's blocking. Yeah. It's just mental blocks, really, at the
end. Yeah, there's a lot of mental. That's right. That's right. Well, that's a great leeway into, you know, kind of work. First of all, where can people find you? I will obviously link in the show notes to your yeah. website and everything else. If you want to mention it just right now, that'll be great. And then sure. also maybe talk a little bit about your workshops too.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram mostly nowadays, okay. and that's at Rinzi Zen.
Okay.
RINZIZEN. Okay. So that's my main sort of thing. Now, I still once in a while post on Flickr, and it's the same okay. at Rinzi Zen. Okay. Twitter, obviously, but yeah, that's where I'm kind of at right now. Mm-hmm. Until okay. something changes. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in right. the next few years with all this stuff. Because they're changing a lot of stuff, right?
They are. Yep.
Now there's stories and mm-hmm. got to keep up with all this technology. Oh my goodness.
Now it's the reels, I think, is the yeah. latest thing. Now all yeah. these videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
So, but that's where I'm at, posting stuff. This year's interesting, right? Like I didn't get to shoot all that much. Mm-hmm. Just because of lockdowns and trying to stay safe and healthy.
Oh yeah.
So I've been looking at a lot of older work and posting that up. Some of it, okay. Some of it not so okay. So it is what it is, And
right.
Some of it works, some of it doesn't. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. And it's all practice till you get it right.
Right, right.
That's kind of my
And if you can mention about your workshops a little bit too, that'll be great.
So I think I have it on my... Okay, it's so on website, my Instagram, there's a link to the website. It's lastreetphotographyworkshop.com. Okay. And currently, obviously, there's no group workshops, but I mm-hmm. rarely ever did group workshops before anyways. Maybe two people at most, three people I'll accept as well. But most mm-hmm. of the time, it's a one-on-one mm-hmm. type of workshop. And the reason why I decided to do this a while ago was I went to group workshops before. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I've talked to a lot of people who did group workshops. And what I find with group workshops is, everybody comes in at different, experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different personalities also. And usually in those type of group environments, the more extroverted ones, they're the ones more interaction with the teacher, the instructor.
Right.
And so a lot of people leave. And they're disappointed, or they didn't get that much info, or they feel like they didn't get that much out of the workshop. So, before that too, the folks that I would meet, we'd walk on the streets, and they would say, I got a lot out of just walking around with you in downtown today, blah blah blah. You should think about doing workshops. And I said, oh, okay. And so that's sort of what got me into this, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's all I'm doing people spend time with me, and basically what I do is over email, once you email me through the website, mm-hmm. Then I'll say, well, what do you want to learn? And that's what we'll focus on during that workshop. Mm-hmm. So let's say you want to just focus on composition. We'll focus on, I usually break it down to like two or three things, because depending on the subject matter, certain things take a little longer than others, or you need to master this one thing before you move on to the next. So we'll just go, focus on one or two things. Mm-hmm. But really, it's just about focusing what you want to learn, what you want to get out of it, and so that you can go on after the workshop. Obviously, you're not going to take the best picture ever during the workshop. right? Mm-hmm. Like it goes right. through what you do after, if right. you implement mm-hmm. what you learn during the workshop and the mm-hmm. things that I teach you, you know, it's sort of a starting point mm-hmm. of what to practice and what direction you want to go to. And so mm-hmm. I will help you with that. You know, what type of photographer you want to do, you want to be, what type of photographs you want to make. You know, a lot of these folks, they look at my work and they say, well, I just want to make photos like you. And so that's what we'll do. And, you know, we'll mm-hmm. focus on light. We'll focus on how to see the light, how to, you know, what I sort of learned over the last few years is most people, it's just a matter of getting to know how to use your camera a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll go over that as well. That doesn't matter what sure. camera, you know, they all work the right. same for the most
yeah,
part.
Yeah, right.
So
pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So like yeah, cool. it's very catered towards you, the person mm-hmm. Signing up for the workshop. Mm-hmm. And it's in downtown Los Angeles. I mean, it doesn't have to be in downtown Los Angeles. You know, I've done it where it's in Santa Monica or mm-hmm. you know, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But downtown's a good place to start yeah. off. And, you know, the sun's always out most of the time. Like just this last yeah. time, last Monday did a workshop, just this Monday. Mm. And it was sunny the Sunday before, the Saturday before, Friday before that. And then Monday, for some reason, overcast all morning.
Oh
yeah. Okay. So we just kind of, you know, so I was like, you know what, we'll go over this stuff, but then we'll do the shooting kind of when the sun comes out. So I'm mm-hmm. open to kind of doing right. that just to make sure that you get what you pay for, you know,
yeah.
That you right. learned something that you wanted mm-hmm. to learn.
Cool.
So,
all right.
There's that.
Very cool. Well, thanks. Well, awesome. I think that was wonderful. We covered a lot of ground, I think,
I think so
today,
too.
And I really appreciate your insights and your time, and sharing your thoughts with me and the listeners. That's awesome. And so, yeah, thanks so much again.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for good yeah. questions and good conversation. I don't know what the weather is like where you're at right now in Minnesota. It's pretty cold, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cold. We had some early snowfall
That's cool.
in October, actually, and then we had some more in November. So it's been pretty cold. Yeah, so it's not California.
No, well, but yeah, it's a yeah. little colder here, but yeah it's not that cold. There's no snow or anything.
Yeah,
yeah,
but not too bad.
Is that why you decided to go there? Is more of the weather, or was there a different reason to choose Minnesota?
That I came here from Switzerland?
Yeah.
No, that was more, I was actually, I was working at the university back then.
Gotcha.
So it was really more had to do with the research I was doing.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So
that makes sense.
So not necessarily the weather, although it is nice here. I mean, we have four seasons and yeah, the winters are harsh, but you know, that can be cool too with the snowfall and everything. So
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm most welcome.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Rinzi. I thought it was quite insightful and he has some great wisdom to share. You can find the show notes with links to his social media accounts as well as to his website at danielsickphotography.com/episode022. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others who might be interested in it. Thanks so much for listening again, and talk to you next time.